is, darling, but is it art?
Zach Langdon Pohl is a Tamaki-based artist whose primarily sculptural-based practice explores contrasting concepts and imagery, proposing unlikely juxtapositions into these often hybrid forms. His current solo exhibition at Let Thomas Gallery Caterpillar Soup presents a series of jigsaw puzzle collages, whereby the artist has placed the pieces of puzzles to make these combined collage images. Imagery of warfare, volcanic matter, nature, and diagnostic imaging melded together, creating this almost pixelated technological material language. The works question what these juxtaposing forms could mean in conversation with each other. I caught up with Zach about the show at Let Thomas and his wider practice. We also briefly touched on his project currently showing at the Domain Winter Gardens titled Memory Garden, The Kiss. Here is that interview now.
Kia ora, my name is Zach Langdon Pohl. I was born in Tamaki Makaurau and grew up here, but then I studied in Germany. I moved to Germany in 2014 and was there for 7 years or so, and have been back since COVID, but have continued to kind of show internationally, predominantly in Australia in the last 5 years as well. But yeah, I suppose I work in a lot of different mediums. Sculpture is probably broadly like a descriptor of what I do, but this is a kind of catch-all phrase to include things like jigsaw puzzle collages, wood carvings, photography in some senses, and a lot of different things.
I guess to begin with speaking about your current exhibition at Let Thomas Caterpillar Soup, would you like to firstly, I guess, speak to this choice of title and how it offers a vantage point for the show?
Yeah, I thought that this metaphor of the caterpillar soup, which is actually a scientific term for what happens inside the chrysalis when the caterpillar forms a chrysalis and is dissolving its body to become a butterfly. Mm. And I guess because a lot of what I do is guided by this question of when does one thing become another?
Mm.
And yeah, this felt like just a very apt metaphor for this process of the delineation between one thing and another being literally the soup. And I feel like maybe that's a nice way into a lot of different tangents that the show takes, but yeah, this transformative moment, shall we say.
Mm, kind of capturing this process of becoming, I guess.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, the show is presenting a series of jigsaw works which sees you piecing together puzzles cut the same way to make these combined images. I'd love to know a little bit about where you kind of first came across this way of making. Are you able to speak to this way of making and how it came to be in your practice?
Yeah, well, there is kind of a precise moment that I recall, which was during a COVID lockdown, and my nephew had a Where's Wally jigsaw puzzle on the table, and my mother was doing like a Dutch still life
classic
jigsaw puzzle. and then I noticed that the shape of the jigsaw pieces were universal, so you could effectively recollage these two very different forms of image making together. It wasn't so much the content of Where's Wally and Dutch still lives that I was interested in, but this is a really beautiful medium then to kind of explore a lot of other, I guess, deeply researched subjects that I spend kind of years going through. And yeah, it's been a really fruitful medium. So this recollaging effectively of different images together. And I suppose as well, this question that I alluded to earlier of when does one thing become another, it's also a question of belonging and not belonging. So I feel like while the jigsaw puzzles from different images fit together perfectly on the surface, there's this disjuncture and, yeah, this question of what belongs where, or this belonging and not belonging together. So it's been a kind of ongoing medium since I think the first jigsaw puzzles were made for a show at the City Gallery in Wellington called Containing Multitudes, and then now that's been going on nearly 6 years or so.
To add on to, I guess, that kind of bigger question that underlies your practice, does fitting physically always mean they fit conceptually? Are you trying to draw any kind of conclusion in placing them together?
I think I like that tension between, again, the belonging and not belongings. But I guess the underlying sense for me too is that is to draw out these connections that maybe not as visible on the surface. So this can slide as well, and this slides particularly in the show between things like microphotography of like neurons inside a human brain or a mouse brain, and up to larger images of things like a volcano eruption, and it's drawing out what are the connections there. And I think that's a bit of a leading question of the show. What is it that pieces these things together? And I think that's a open space for people to enter. But underlying it, I do have the sense that everything is connected at the same time.
Yeah. Do you kind of leave that completely up for interpretation for viewers, or do you have your own interpretation that you kind of are secretly hoping unfolds?
Well, I mean, another step that's happened with this body of jigsaw puzzles too, is, I should say, is that the ways that two images are collaged together in jigsaw puzzle format, there's like a third image, which is the stencil or the template in which those images are coming together. So there's a triangulation in every single jigsaw puzzle work in the show. So this is often like a kind of ghost image. Like one, for example, is a detail of like a moth plant, which is a invasive weed, but is kind of found in urban environments. And I think this third image, what that invites, it's kind of a silhouette really between these two images. And I think that invites like a durational looking, so the work unfolds. And I think what I really like about this form that I've been working with in terms of the third image also is that, well, your eye never settles.
Mm.
So what you're taking in is never static, and it's constantly jostling between these three images. And I think, that's a way of inviting people into a interpretation durationally, shall we say.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking as well, I think what's interesting is I think for many people the material of jigsaw puzzles can be kind of nostalgic things, but the way in which they are recontextualized or re-understood in the show makes them appear almost mechanical or pixelated or technological, which appears almost at odds with the potential nostalgia of the material, bringing something we might consider as just a game or a gift store purchase into the world of contemporary art. Are you able to speak a little more to this material language in the works with respect to those ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of things that drew me to the jigsaw puzzle format. I mean, there are art historical precedents, like someone like Felix Gonzalez Torres and his work with jigsaw puzzles. And I think in that sense, there's an underlying fragility to the work, which is maybe consistent in a number of different things that I do. And I think that's kind of an emotional content too. There's a sense of contingency or things coming together or falling apart. So I think that possibility of the jigsaw puzzle, being this metaphor of forming a larger picture, but that picture also having the capacity to disintegrate or come apart is, a kind of one thing. But then I think another interest was really this, I guess, looking at how images are disseminated through the world and maybe even the mediums or the formats in which, power is kind of spread. Like, for example, a classic place to see a jigsaw puzzle is in a museum gift shop. And a lot of what, at least in my life growing up, seeing in museum gift shops was of, like, European master paintings made into jigsaw puzzles. And this is kind of a way of disseminating culture. And I always found growing up in Aotearoa, like, and learning a bit of our kind of modernist art history as well, like how these forms of culture had been interpreted through reproduction. Mm. So someone like Colin McCann painting his version of Mondrian from, black and white art forum images or something like this. And that in a way kind of impacting the translation and how that happens. And I think there's something to meditate on in terms of the jigsaw puzzle, that there is a kind of still a way of smuggling culture or delivering other forms of culture and high culture and reproducing things that are seen to create more value through their reproduction. So I think there is a meditation on that too, but people love jigsaw puzzles. There is like this draw as well. And maybe there is a kind of nostalgia or or also kind of byline, kind of leisure to this is how we might engage with art in a kind of holiday context or something like this, and a slowing down. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot to the jigsaw puzzle.
We could really unpack this for ages.
Yeah.
You spoke a little bit to, I guess, some of the imagery earlier. And I guess in terms of process, I was interested, how did you kind of go about sourcing, planning and piecing together these puzzles into a work? Do the puzzles find you and then a concept evolves, or do you start conceptually and then work from there?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of different tangents in the show as well. So, and like I say, this format is a beautiful way to bring things together that might not normally belong together.
Mm.
I think one, for example, is there's maybe two works in the show which are more focused on, I guess, the veracity or truth-telling capacity for, like, war photography.
Mm.
So there's one work in the show which is actually annotated by this documentary filmmaker, Earl Morris, where he did a very close reading of these two photographs by Roger Fenton from the Crimean War, because he found two different negatives, and he found that the cannonballs had been kind of moved to the middle of the road, and he was trying to figure out, well, what is it that makes this what became quite a famous war image and one of the first early photography war images, and what is it to kind of convey the horrors of that situation. And he's looking more particularly at, like, I guess, the staging of that, because he has figured out evidently that the photographer moved the cannonballs to the road to make a more dramatic image. And he uses this kind of analysis to also look at this photographer, Arthur Rothstein, who in the 1930s, during the Dust Bowl and Depression in the States, and was looking at a particular set of photographs where he had moved this cow skull or steer skull around also as a prop in this kind of arid landscape, and that forms the silhouette of the largest work in the show, is this image of this steer skull from Arthur Rothstein. And yeah, I guess so there's one element there that's looking at a history of image making and what is it to convey the truth or indeed the veracity, even though these photographers may have kind of staged something a bit more to get across the point of how, for example, horrific war landscape is, or how arid and how terrible the climate was in the 1930s in the States. So there's a kind of, I guess, always a deeper looking or meditation on how we look as well. So content like that is forming one part of the show. And then, yeah, completely different content is more looking from a scientific lens at, for example, how the brain works and scientific imaging of neurons and synapses from both human and animal brains as well. So, yeah, if that helps, there's a few
good facts.
Roads in there.
I did want to speak as well. There is, of course, a sculptural work of a chair where a fourth leg has been replaced by a tree branch, also in the show. Placed in conversation with these jigsaws, how do you kind of see the relationship between the sculpture and that series?
Well, the sculpture is part of its own series as well, which is called Another World Inside This One. And this had started with wood chopping axes previously. And the premise that is maybe easy to miss with the sculpture is that there's a sapling of an oak tree that's growing through the back part of this chair, which is made of oak wood. But what you also see is that, yeah, the back leg is missing and the back brace is missing, half of it. And all that wood has been carved to make this tree, which is then painted. So it looks kind of hyper-realistic.
Mm.
But the tree is made of the chair itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then it's painted kind of hyper-realistically. So I guess, yeah, the connection there being, I guess, this transformative moment and maybe as well the work being a bit of like a collage of time. So to me, it's a kind of imagining of the young sapling tree from which the wood for the chair would be eventually made. So it's kind of maybe a calling back to the life of this wood, and in that sense, yeah, this collaging of time or disjunctures of time as well. And maybe the fact that, much like the jigsaw puzzle third image thing, is that the works are constantly in this moment of transformation between one thing and another, and are becoming. And I think maybe that's another iteration of what kind of underpins a lot of my work, is this is kind of honing in on the fact that everything is moving all the time, and everything is in the process of becoming another thing. So it's quite difficult, for example, to kind of pin things without their context and without their relationship to time, and also the possibility for one thing to become another and to change and to be read completely differently, which is in itself kind of a metaphor for art, right? Like, I might have my own ideas about what my work means, but I think that's constantly shifting, and what that means in 100 years might also be completely different. So,
you also mentioned that you've got a project on at the Domain as well. Would you like to speak a little bit to that as well, and I guess maybe a connection to that in the show?
Yeah, well, this is will be the first showing of a body of work called Memory Garden, and this is a different medium entirely, which is marble. And working with marble has been really eye-opening and beautiful experience, and particularly as well because it contains this deep time, right? Marble itself is a fossilized part of the earth, was once like a sea floor, you know, and now is kind of hardened in this crystalline rock. And I think as well that project is in terms of time, is looking at deep time and the transformation of those stones, and making stone really the subject of those works, because the premise really of those works is that they're faithful recreations of very well-known works from Western art history. So this one in particular is a replica of Rodin's The Kiss, which is a very iconic sculpture of two figures kissing, and this kind of positioned on this rock. And the premise really of this work is that it's completely faithfully recreated, divot for divot, but the figures have now been removed, so only really what remains is the stone itself. And with Rodin, he quite famously didn't finish his figures, so the figures are kind of joined to the stone. So what I spent a long time modeling and kind of carving and imagining was where the figures end and the rock begins. And so you have these like kind of negative details of their bodily impressions on the stone. So it forms a kind of ghost image, also similar to the puzzles in a way. But I guess what that really is about is a reframing of attention and giving perhaps more credence to rock being rock. Because, of course, in those works, you know, humans are the center of the world. But maybe in this reframing, there is a different focus entirely. And that is the stone itself. And what's often overlooked in those sculptures is the kind of the nature or the flora or fauna which supports these kind of heroic moments has now become itself the sole subject. And it's a very beautiful location because it's positioned right outside the Winter Gardens in the Domain. And I think, speaks quite well. There's, of course, a lot of kind of classical sculpture around that environment too. So I think there's a reflection as well on, what is it that we're really looking at here?
That was artist Zach Langdon-Pohl speaking to me about his current solo exhibition on at Let Thomas Caterpillar Soup. The exhibition is on until the 18th of April, and also his work, Memory Garden The Kiss, is on at the Domain Winter Gardens now, so be sure to check that out also.